Starting with you, Governor, would the day that Roe v. Wade is repealed be a good day for America?
Absolutely.
Senator.
A glorious day of human liberty and freedom.
Governor.
Yes, it was wrongly decided.
Governor.
Most certainly.
Congressman.
Yes, Wade.
Yes.
Governor. Senator.
Yes.
A repeal.
Mayor.
It'd be okay.
Okay to repeal?
It would be okay to repeal. Would it be okay also if a strict constructionist judge viewed it as precedent? And I think a judge has to make that
decision.
Would
it be okay if they didn't repeal it?
I think the court has to make that decision, and then the country can deal with it. We're a federalist system of government, and states can make their own decisions.
Congressman.
After 40 million dead because we have aborted them in this country, I say that that would be the greatest day in this country's history when that is, in fact, overturned.
All right, that's Chris Matthews and many GOP candidates for president in 2008 answering a simple question on Roe v. Wade. That was last week's presidential debate. I guess you call these things presidential debates, although these aren't really the chosen nominees from the parties. These are still, we could still call this primary fodder here. Among them, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, John McCain, New York, former mayor of New York, Rudolph Giuliani. Those are the three front runners there, and all the others in the pack. We're going to be playing some audio from that debate and asking for your response to some of those questions. A big question here is, and it's going to come at the end too, as they go through there saying, would it be a good day for America if Roe v. Wade were overturned, yes or no? Which of those candidates do you find yourself agreeing the most with? It's audio open lines, issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live this Monday, the 7th of May. Our call-in numbers here in the studio, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're going to hear them on the issue of abortion, embryonic stem cell research, come back to abortion a little bit. A short question on the issue of gay marriage. Mitt Romney's faith, that is the fact that he's a Mormon and has talked a lot about people wanting a president who is a man of faith but not any particular faith, that comes up, and there's some exchanges that will play for you then here during audio open lines. And they're going to end on a question about embryonic stem cell research. In favor of funding it or not? And some of the answers might surprise you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And that in-studio email address during audio open lines this Monday, the 7th of May, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, here's what some of the GOP candidates had to say on the question of when life begins.
We're looking for nuance here. Governor Gilmore, you have said in the past that you believe in the first 8 to 12 weeks of pregnancy that a woman should have the right to have an abortion. Do you still stick with that exception?
I do, Chris. My views on this, my beliefs on this are a matter of conviction, and they've always been the same, and they've never changed the entire time that I've been in public life. However, my record as governor of Virginia, I think, has been one that the pro-life community of which I'm a part would be very proud. Passing a 24-hour waiting period, passing informed consent, passing parental notification, signing the partial birth abortion law in Virginia. So I think the record is there. But my views are strongly and fundamentally believed and been held that way.
Governor Thompson, do you have any nuance on this, or you're just happy with the repeal of Roe v. Wade?
I believe it should be left up to the states. That was what was originally implied, and the Constitution was changed when the Supreme Court made the decision. I, like a lot of people up here, have made a record of pro-life for a long time, signing the partial birth abortion, pre-notification for parents, and so on. I think it's imperative that states have the responsibility for making these laws.
Now, this is the theme that came up again and again in the GOP debate, depending on which candidate they were talking about, whether it was an issue of abortion or embryonic stem cell research. A lot of times they started talking about, well, the states have the should make this decision. In fact, you heard it when they went down the roll call asking about would it be a good day for America if Roe were repealed. Some of the participants in the GOP debate last week said, well, yes, because the states need to make this decision. Now, Chris Matthews, the moderator of the debate, said he was looking for nuance on some of these social and moral issues. And there's a nuance. You know, there are people who think Roe is bad law. That's why it should be overturned. It's just bad law. Abortion is neither here nor there, but Roe is bad law. Let's overturn it. You could hardly call them pro-life. You could call them against Roe, but not necessarily pro-life. There are people who say, well, it was bad law because it took out of the state's purview what should belong in the state's purview, and therefore we should overturn it. And again, that's not strictly a pro-life position. That's more of a pro-state's rights position. And then there are people who say, well, Roe is not only bad law, it's bad. And it's led to the death of millions upon millions of unborn children. Now, I would call that pro-life. You see, there is nuance here. There's nothing wrong with the nuance, but we need to be able to tease out what the various candidates for president are really saying when it comes to these life issues. Now, participating in this debate last week at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library, in no particular order, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, we'll hear a lot from him, Senator John McCain, former New York Governor Rudolph Giuliani, Senator Sam Brownback, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, we heard a little bit from him there, Congressman Duncan Hunter, Congressman Ron Paul, Congressman Tom Tancredo, and then also former Health and Human Services Secretary in Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson. And then rounding off all of it is a former Arkansas governor, Mike Huckabee. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 men standing there. So their answers are understandably short. They only had 90 minutes to engage in this debate. I want your reaction to what you're hearing from these GOP presidential candidates. It's audio open lines, 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727, or email us issues, etc@kfuo.org. Are you encouraged to hear what they're having to say, or are you discouraged? Who do you agree with the most? And I guess it's separate from those questions. Who do you think actually has a chance, given the positions that you'll hear during this hour of audio open lines? There's a big difference between saying, I'm going to vote for this guy, and saying, I think he's got a chance. Well, here's how former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney dealt with the issue of his conversion, so to speak, on the issue of abortion.
Governor Romney, in recent months, you've said you were, quote, always for life, but we've also heard you say you were once, quote, effectively pro-choice. Which is it?
Well, I've always been personally pro-life, but for me it was a great question about whether or not government should intrude in that decision. And when I ran for office, I said I'd protect the law as it was, which is effectively a pro-choice position. About 2 years ago, when we were studying cloning in our state, I said, look, we have gone too far. It's a brave new world mentality that Roe v. Wade has given us, and I changed my mind. I took the same course that Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush and Henry Hyde took, and I said I was wrong. And changed my mind and said I'm pro-life. And I'm proud of that, and I won't apologize to anybody for becoming
Governor,
pro-life.
Governor, with respect, some people are going to see those changes of mind as awfully politically convenient.
I told you that I studied at great length this issue when I ran. For the very first time, I told you that I was personally pro-life, but that I would protect a woman's right to choose as the law existed, and that stayed the same until 2 years ago, as I indicated. And at that time, as a result of the debate we had, The conclusion I reached was that we had gone too far, that cloning and that creating new embryos was wrong, and that we should therefore allow our state to become a pro-life state. I believe states should have the right to make this decision, and that's a position I indicated in an op-ed at the Boston Globe 2 years ago.
Okay, so does his answer there to that question about his change of mind on the issue of abortion, does it convince you? Do you think this has been a sincere change of mind? Does his answer hold up? I'm Todd Wilkin. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 this Monday, May the 7th. Now, Mitt Romney is going to be revisited on not only that issue, but I think also embryonic stem cell research. He says that the decision that he made to switch from being what he says, what, nominally pro-life, but in effect, in his legislative record, pro-choice, to being fully pro-life, was when his state started to consider funding for embryonic stem cell research. So he hadn't looked at the issues closely enough. And when he had, he changed his mind. there are many who would probably vote for Mitt Romney, all other things being equal, given his viewpoints, but are a little wary of whether or not Romney really has made the switch from being, well, I'm against abortion, but I want it to be legal, that pro-choice by default viewpoint, to a genuine, full-blown, robust, pro-life position. Are you still skeptical? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Next, here's the question. Would you support a GOP presidential nominee who's pro-choice?
Senator Brownback, this is an important issue for you.
It is.
Could you support a nominee of your party who is not pro-life?
I could, because I believe in the Ronald Reagan principle that somebody that's with you 80% of the time is not your enemy. That's your friend and that's your ally. And this is a big coalition party. And it's a coalition party that's governed for a number of years in this country. And it governs because it governs with a coalition of economic and social conservatives and people that want to be strong for the United States. But I want to emphasize, I believe life is one of the central issues of our day. And I believe that every human life at every phase is unique, is beautiful, is a child of a loving God.
So how do you react to that? I was a little surprised, to tell you the truth. When the question was put to Sam Brownback, would you support a presidential nominee, assuming he's not the one, of course, would you support a presidential nominee who is not pro-life? He said, well, yes, because Ronald Reagan would have had us do it this way. It's, you can't get everything out of the politicians you elect, so if they're with us 80%, that means they're with us 80%. Do you buy that? If life is that central issue for America, like Senator Brownback has said and just said, if it is that central, then do you buy his idea of being able to, I don't know, what would you call it, split the difference, for lack of a better term, and still support a presidential nominee, say Rudolph Giuliani, who's pro-choice? 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. Change it from pro-choice to, say, pro-slavery. You want to talk about an age of political compromise. When the issue of slavery was being fought over and decided in our country, there were a lot of people who had less than savory positions on the black man. There were many who considered black people to be racially, intellectually inferior. And yet they were opposed to slavery. They considered slavery a wrong, and they opposed it adamantly. But they would never have considered the possibility of giving equal rights to the black population. Now, see, they're against slavery, but they were still half wrong. And some might say, okay, well, but we got slavery abolished by putting together a coalition of people who believed that slavery was wrong, period, and that the black population in the United States should not only be free, but also full citizens. And a group of people who believed that slavery was wrong, but that after being given their freedom, they didn't deserve to be full citizens. And the only way we defeated slavery was by allowing that, what, politics of strange bedfellows that occurred there. Sam Brownback seems to say, in the case of abortion, in the overall goal of seeing abortion eradicated and eliminated in our United States, let's be willing to compromise with those who are at least willing to say, like Rudolph Giuliani, that it's wrong, but should still be legal. See, that's the only possibility on this, in this slate of candidates so far, these 10 men there at the presidential debate last week at the Ronald Reagan Library. The only possibility is the two guys who are standing there who are pro-choice, Rudolph Giuliani being the one who has a chance. And he's said it repeatedly. We'll hear him say it here in a moment. Abortion is wrong. He hates it. He doesn't want to see it happen. But he thinks it should still be legal. And Sam Brownback says, in effect, well, all other things being equal, if that were the only 20% with which I disagreed with that nominee, I'd still support him. Can you buy it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I know it's a little early for presidential debates, but the primary season's going to be here in, believe it or not, February. And so the debates have already begun. Is that the response that you want to hear from a presidential candidate? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Okay, Rudolph Giuliani was obviously, I think, between him and Mitt Romney and Senator McCain, the stars of the show. They're the ones that everyone was really curious about hearing their viewpoints. And there really is a distinction between the three men's positions. There's quite a variety. What does Rudy Giuliani think about public funding for abortion?
Mayor Giuliani, because I want to give you a chance on this. You became very well known for standing up against the use of public funds for what many people considered indecent exhibits at the Brooklyn Museum and places like that. Why do you support the use of public funds for abortion?
I don't. I support the Hyde Amendment. I hate abortion. I wish people didn't have abortion.
So you're not for funding at all?
I believe that the Hyde Amendment should remain the law. States should make their decision. Some states decide to do it. Most states decide not to do it. And I think that's the appropriate way to have this decided.
Should New York, when you were mayor of New York, should they have been paying for, the state should have been paying for?
That's a decision New York made a long time ago.
And where were you on that?
I supported it in New York. But I think in other places, people can come to a different decision.
Thank you.
Okay, now I'm confused. Because it was no later than 2 weeks ago that we were playing audio during Audio Open Lines from an interview with Rudolph Giuliani when the question was asked about federal funding for abortion, where he said, like he just did, I'm against abortion, I hate abortion, I don't want to see abortion happen, I think adoption's a better option. When I was governor, adoptions went up, abortions went down in the city of New York. And then he said that he considered, as long as Roe was on the books, he considered Roe to be the right to abortion to be a constitutional right, and he said if it's the question of whether or not a person's going to be robbed of their constitutional right, if there is no federal funding, then we will federally fund abortion. If the choice is a woman can exercise her constitutional right to abortion or not. Now, I'm no political expert, but it sounded to me at the time like he was in favor of federal funding for abortion, because he'd already established in his mind that abortion is a constitutional right. There are people who can't afford to pay for it, ergo they can't exercise their constitutional right. This is the way Giuliani's thinking about it. So there should be federal funding so that they can exercise their constitutional right. Now he says no, he's not in favor of federal funding for abortion. Maybe it's just too nuanced for my brain to sort out. Your reaction would help. I want your reaction to what you've heard so far. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, the issue of homosexuality came up. I thought that Don't Ask, Don't Tell would come up because I spent a lot of time talking about the military, talking about the war in Iraq, talking about support for our troops, and I thought that Don't Ask, Don't Tell would come up. Interestingly, the issue of homosexuality was discussed only briefly in this debate last week among the GOP presidential hopefuls, and here was that brief discussion.
Governor Thompson, same theme. If a private employer finds homosexuality immoral, should he be allowed to fire a gay worker?
I think that is left up to the individual business. I really sincerely believe that that is a issue that business people have got to make their own determination as to whether or not they should be.
Okay. So the answer is yes.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. I didn't expect the question to come in that form, but it's a great question. It is a great question. If someone, now, maybe it really was a question having to do with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. It was just couched in a different way, because remember, it was General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, I believe, was taped saying that he thought homosexuality and adultery were immoral. And that he's speaking here of, in his own private opinion, that just as the military doesn't tolerate the practice of adultery because it's immoral, it shouldn't tolerate the practice of homosexuality because it's immoral. And he was speaking in reference to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. Well, here the same words come up. If an employer determines that homosexuality is immoral in his view, should he be able to fire an employee who's homosexual? It's analogous to the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. If a commander determines that homosexuality is immoral, should he be able to get rid of a soldier who's openly gay? And as far as we can tell there, the respondent says, yes. Tommy Thompson says, yes, the individual employee should have the right to make that decision. So what do you think about what you're hearing so far from the GOP hopefuls? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. As we go to this break, let's talk with Florence in California. Hi, Florence.
Hi.
Hi, Florence.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. There was a buzz there. I wasn't sure if I was on. Commenting about the abortion question, I'm not a journalist, but I always wonder why, when they ask that question to each candidate, would you, you know, these things about repealing Roe v. Wade, and the candidates always have a certain answer. Personally, I am very opposed to it, but I don't think we should get in the way of women having this procedure. What never gets asked is, why do you object to it personally? What do you see as the problem with abortion? What about it? I mean, Rudy Giuliani even has come out and he says it's repulsive, it's repugnant personally to him and things, but nobody has ever said, why? I'm not asking for a graphic description from him. Perhaps that would be appropriate. But, you know, because what it seems to come down to, for me, when they answer the question the way they do, is, I don't like it, but I don't want to do anything to make the women mad. And I think, what does that have to do with truth? What does that have to do with justice? What does that have to do with the law? We're talking about ways of protecting civil order and our neighbor. I think that's what laws are designed to do. Anyway, that was just something that occurred to me when I was listening to
them. Well, Florence, perhaps you should consider an avocation in journalism, because it's a great question. I mean, it's a great follow-up, which is why. We do have the most astute listeners in radio, no doubt about it, and thanks for listening out in California, Florence. Yes, when Rudolph Giuliani says, I think that abortion is wrong, but really the reporter, if they're worth their salt, should stop him or anyone who says that and say, why? Why do you think it's wrong? What about it brings you to the personal judgment that abortion is wrong? And why can't that personal judgment, that basis for your personal judgment, be also the basis for a public judgment? If someone says, I believe, I'm personally opposed to murder, but I don't think it should be illegal, you would immediately want to examine why they think murder is wrong personally, but not shouldn't be a public wrong, wouldn't you? Good question, Florence. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 16th century Lutheran Reformation is famous, among other things, for restoring a high view of God's Word, Holy Scripture, to the Church. In fact, Lutheran spirituality cannot exist apart from this exalted view of God's Word. But what does God's Word say? How should we study it? How should we rightly understand it? Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for May, is written by Pastor John Pless. It's called Word, God Speaks to Us. This book is a Bible study guiding us through the reading, study, and interpretation of Holy Scripture. The book is $8.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Word, God Speaks to Us, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for May, Word, God speaks to us.
The Ark. Now, was it big enough? Answers with Ken Ham, a founder of the Answers in Genesis Ministry. Ken, I've heard skeptics claim that the Bible's account of Noah's Ark is just a myth because Noah couldn't have fit all the animals on board. In our new Creation Museum, how do you answer that charge?
Well, Mark, over the years, especially on talk show programs, when people claim Noah didn't have room for all the animals on the Ark, they've actually never figured out how many animals were needed. Creationist researchers have done some very careful calculations and found that Noah could not only have had representatives of all the land animals on board, but plenty of room to spare. You see, Noah didn't need to take all the species of land animals on board, just representatives of the kinds. In other words, he didn't need all the varieties of dogs, just two dogs that would give rise to numerous species in the world after the flood. Now, calculations show that probably around 10,000 to 16,000 animals at the most were needed on Noah's Ark. Even giving the animals plenty of room, less than half of the Ark would have been used up. You know what? There are answers when you're prepared to research carefully.
In our new Creation Museum, a large section is devoted to the Ark of Noah. Answers to the most asked questions about the flood and the Ark will be presented right there. Even better, you can discover answers right now by reading Ken Ham's free booklet, The Seven Seas of History, which talks about the flood of Noah. Just go to AnswersRadio.com.
Christ Academy is a two-week residential program for high school-aged men on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Here's the director of Christ Academy, Brian Gurman.
The students at Christ Academy live in the dorms as a seminarian would. They study under the seminary professors, and they worship in Kramer Chapel. And it is literally taking the seminary experience and getting a good taste of it for those 2 weeks. And what they learn in the classroom, then they experience in Kramer Chapel, as that is really the center of the experience, just as it is throughout the academic year here on campus as well.
At Christ Academy, high school-aged men explore the possibility of someday becoming a pastor. Christ Academy takes place June the 17th through the 30th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. Look for the Christ Academy logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive. The folks at Reliable Heating and Cooling remind you that during this in-between season, between the extremes of winter and summer, it's generally easier to arrange for a service checkup on your furnace or your air conditioner. That tip courtesy of Reliable Heating and Cooling, 8463 Delport Drive, a corporate underwriter of AM 850 KFUO.
Well, it's always nice to see these things. In the Saturday edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, a story about Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. It was not only about what they're doing worldwide to help those who are in need, but it's also about that conference on mercy they held last week. We were there. And it's nice to see those things recognized in the paper about Christians who are concerned with both body and soul and are able to channel so much of your gifts to the people who really are in the greatest need after man-made and natural disasters. It's LCMS World Relief. If you still got a copy of Saturday's paper sitting around someplace, leaf through it and find the article. It's worth your consideration. Then go to our website, issuesetc.org. You find the logo for LCMS World Relief. In fact, a picture of Pastor Matt Harrison right there, issuesetc.org. You can also call them and earmark a donation for any of their very many efforts around the world. 1-888-930-4438. 1-888-930-4438, Christ-Centered Cross-Focused Relief and Care from Pastor Matt Harrison and LCMS World Relief. Well, last week it was former Governor of Massachusetts Mitt Romney, it was Senator John McCain, former New York Governor Rudolph Giuliani, Mayor, I always say he's Governor, he was just Mayor, Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, Senator Sam Brownback, former Virginia Governor Jim Gilmore, now we're getting into the less knowns. Congressman Duncan Hunter, Congressman Ron Paul, Congressman Tom Tancredo, former Health and Human Services Secretary, Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, and a former governor of Arkansas, Mike Huckabee. In fact, Mike Huckabee had some interesting exchanges. We'll hear him in just a moment with Mitt Romney when it came to the issue of whether one's own faith should matter in governing as president. We want to hear from you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us this Monday, the 7th of May, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Matt's calling from Florida, the other side of the country. Hi, Matt.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
Excuse me. With Giuliani, as I've listened more and more to him, I find that he has a tendency to want to be systematic with everything. He thinks that you can set up everything as a flowchart. So this is what I hear from him. He says, okay, on this issue, if this, then this, 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 and this. But if this, then we're going to go this way, this way, this way, and I believe that that's good in both cases. Average person sounds as though that's waffling. And at the end of the day, it really is, I think, because he didn't really tell us anything. He says that it sounds as though he just wants to serve the issue, but we never find out anything about him.
What do you mean, serve the issue, Matt?
Well, he's going to do whatever's best, regardless of what comes down the pike. Let's say that the Supreme Court hands him one of the worst possible outcomes on any given anything. And he's going, okay, well, I'll pick this up and work with it.
Okay,
the best that I can.
I see what you're... He's a company man.
Yeah.
He's a company man. He doesn't care what the position is, but if the position's there,
I'm going to tow it.
He'll do the best he can with the position such as it is, but he's not really going to try and advocate any position himself.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily a good thing, though, because what they're really asking in these questions when they ask is, what do you think?
Or what are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. Now, and then he goes off and he says, well, let's make our little flowchart again. And it's like, well, we don't find anything out about that. We don't find out anything about him that way.
You know what it sounds like to me, Matt? And I would not accuse Rudolph Giuliani of this in any other circumstances. Really, I wouldn't. And this is my personal opinion. But it sounds to me like a bureaucratic approach to all of these issues.
It is. Straight up. Put it on the board, and let's go ahead and have a war room. And we're going to put this on the board, and I'm going to show you what the outcome of this, this, and this, and this, and this will be. And of course, by the time he's done doing that, he's bewildered everybody.
Matt, thank you very much for listening there in Florida. So Giuliani is sounding just a little too dispassionate on these issues, even though he does say abortion is wrong and all this kind of stuff. He's willing to kind of live with any situation. Well, you know, if we get activist judges who decide to overturn this, if we get constructionist judges, they could decide either way. And I'm going to be president in any event, so I'll just play the cards that are dealt to me. Now, there are a lot of people who would say, well, that's good. He's going to be more hands-off. He's not going to be so activist himself. However, when you're electing someone to be chief executive of the United States, shouldn't there be an active element in their governing, especially when it comes to issues like abortion? Well, whatever the Supreme Court decides to do, I'll abide by it. Sure you will. One of the things that any president does, wherever their positions are, is put their hand on the Bible or whatever book they want to use, and they swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States and its laws. So George W. Bush could step out and say, look, I'm going to abide by the laws of the land when it comes to abortion. And he has. But that does not mean he can't say, I think these laws are wrong, and we ought to change them. Rudolph Giuliani seems to be saying, I agree with Matt here, he seems to be saying, well, whatever the law on abortion ends up being, I'll uphold it. Well, sure you will. You haven't told us anything. Any president will uphold the laws. Do you agree or disagree with them? That's the big question. So what about the rest of you? Are you encouraged or perhaps discouraged by what you're hearing from these GOP presidential hopefuls? 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850. Who do you like the most? Who do you like the least? You're getting a chance to hear at least a little bit of each one. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, the candidates were asked for their thoughts on church discipline for pro-choice politicians. Of course, the circle this usually comes up in is among the Roman Catholics. Here's the bit.
Governor Romney, what do you say to Roman Catholic bishops who would deny communion to elected officials who support abortion rights?
I don't say anything to Roman Catholic bishops. They can do whatever the heck they want. Roman Catholic bishops are in a private institution, a religion, and they can do whatever they want in a religion. America doesn't...
Do you see that as interference in public life?
Well, I can't imagine a government telling a church who can have communion in their church. I can't imagine. We have a separation of church and state. It served us well in this country.
Okay.
This is a nation, after all, that wants a leader that's a person of faith. But we don't choose our leader based on which church they go to. This is a nation which also comes together. We unite over faith and over the right of people to worship as they choose. The people we're fighting, they're the ones who divide over faith and decide matters of this nature in the public forum. This is a place where we celebrate different religions and different
faiths.
Thank
you, Governor. Governor Huckabee, you've criticized Governor Romney for saying his faith wouldn't get in the way of his public life, his governing. Are you going to back that up tonight?
I've never criticized Governor Romney for that. I've said in general, and I would say this tonight to any of us, when a person says my faith doesn't affect my decision making, I would say that the person's saying their faith is not significant enough to impact their decision process. I tell people up front, my faith does affect my decision process. It explains me. No apology for that. My faith says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you.
But you answered a question to George Stephanopoulos of ABC about this governor, one of your rivals, and you answered it in this way. I'm not as troubled by a person who has a different faith. I'm troubled by a person who tells me their faith doesn't influence their decisions. That's in direct response to George Stephanopoulos on February 11th of this year. Why are you changing that point of view now?
Well, I didn't know I was changing the point of view.
No,
I'm saying that
your
of anyone,
quote.
Whether it's Governor Romney or Governor
But you
Gilmore.
Answered in direct response to the Governor Romney in this Mormonism. Why are you pulling back now?
I don't mean to be pulling back. I want to state very clearly, a person's faith shouldn't qualify or disqualify for public office. It shouldn't do that. But we ought to be honest and open about it, and I think it does help explain who we are, what our value systems are, what makes us tick, and what our processors are.
Governor Romney, do you accept the fact that he wasn't talking about you?
I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it on George Stephanopoulos, but I can tell you this. Of course, everyone is a person of faith, has values that are deeply held in their heart. And they include the value of the relationship they have with their spouse and their children, the value that they place with their country and with their community. That's what makes such America such a powerful land. Look at us. We're a land that's the envy of the entire world. We are the hope of the world, not because of our wealth, but because of our hearts. And that comes from being a people of faith, but not people of a particular church or a particular synagogue. Rather, the great values we share are American values.
Senator?
Chris, this is a key point, I think, and I think it's a key point for the country, because we've had 40 or 50 years now of trying to run faith out of the public square. And we're a nation of faith, as my colleague, Senator Lieberman, a Jew, says. America's a faith-based experiment as a country. We should celebrate and invite faith. And our motto is, in God we trust. This isn't something that divides. This is something that pulls together and lifts us up. And it's key, and it's important. We shouldn't be trying to run it out of the public square. We should invite it in and celebrate it.
Okay.
All right, that was Romney being responded to by Huckabee, and then Romney, and then Senator Brown back there at the end. Okay, the question, let's not miss Romney's first answer, which was really quite remarkable. When asked, what do you say to Catholic bishops who want to withhold the Lord's Supper from Roman Catholic politicians who do not uphold the church's teaching? I thought his answer was as clear as I've heard from anybody on this issue. I don't say anything. They can do what they want to do. They're masters of their own domain. The government has no interest in telling any church who to commune or not commune. That seems like a very clear answer. Now, it kind of got lost in the shuffle when the issue went from that to what it is Romney believes as a Mormon, and why it is, I think it's safe to argue that Romney has, while fully admitting to being a Mormon, made no hay of the fact that he's a Mormon, and tended to speak of himself in the most generic terms as a man of faith, as he's running for president. It almost comes to the point, at some point, it comes to the point of the elephant in the room. Is it the elephant or the 800-pound gorilla? Let's call it the 800-pound gorilla. The 800-pound gorilla in the room that everyone sees, everyone acknowledges, everyone's moving around to get out of its way, but no one is willing to talk about. If you continue to say, I'm a man of faith, we need someone to govern who's a man of faith, but no particular faith. And you are, just by accident of history, the very first viable presidential candidate who's a Mormon? Sooner or later, you got to talk about this. Now, Mike Huckabee, I don't know why Chris Matthews is being tough on Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee seemed to be kind of consistent in what he was saying. Look, if you admit to be a person of faith, then your particular faith ought to have some bearing on your decision-making in government. It's kind of like, I'm against abortion, but. I'm a man of faith, but. I'm a man of faith, but I don't let that get in the way of me governing. And I think Huckabee's being honest here. Now, Huckabee, by the way, is an ordained Baptist minister, as well as former Arkansas governor. And he's saying, how could you not have it affect the way you govern? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. live this Monday, May the 7th. I would like to get your reaction to last week's debate between the many GOP presidential hopefuls. Phone lines are wide open, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You can also send us your email right here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, Chris Matthews, the moderator of this big debate, asked Rudolph Giuliani to clarify his views on abortion one more time.
Let me ask Mayor Giuliani, do you want to respond to this? Because it seems like across the room here, this strong, unrelenting, with the exception of Governor Gilmore, an unrelenting pro-life position. You seem to have a nuanced position on this. Many people think you're pro-choice. Could you define it in a couple of seconds?
Sure. This is a very, very difficult issue of conscience for many, many people. In my case, I hate abortion. I would encourage someone to not take that option. When I was mayor of New York City, I encouraged adoptions. Adoptions went up 65-70%. Abortions went down 16%. But ultimately, since it is an issue of conscience, I would respect a woman's right to make a different choice. I support the ban on partial birth abortion. I support the Hyde Amendment. But ultimately, I think when you come down to that choice, you have to respect a woman's right to make that choice differently than my conscience.
Look, if Chris Matthews is trying to get Giuliani to say that he's not pro-choice or that he is pro-life, that answer didn't do anything to clear it up for me. What about you? When you say, I support a woman's choice, and that choice is abortion, but I'm against abortion, is there a third alternative here? Really, I'm beginning to wonder whether or not there is emerging between pro-life and pro-choice, some sort of odd third alternative, which is, I'm both. Because, and I'm trying to very honestly, I happen to think that Rudolph Giuliani is an admirable man who seems to be very honest in every other respect. I know he's trying to be honest here. But it sounds like he's saying I'm both, doesn't it? I'm against abortion, but I'm for a woman's choice. I'm pro-life. And I'm pro-choice. And somehow he can reconcile these two things in his mind. And perhaps by making that distinction between personally and publicly. Personally and publicly. It's probably how he managed to get through many of his personal dalliances as governor of New York and afterwards, while maintaining some sort of a stellar public persona. It just sounds to me, to come back to the slavery comparison, too much like someone saying, you know, I'm personally against slavery, and I think slavery is a terrible institution and a scourge on our nation. But I support the slave owner's right to own slaves, to deal in them, to sell them, to treat them as property. Let me just say that again one more time. I think that slavery is wrong. I detest it. I think it's an institution that is bad for our society. But I personally support a slave owner's right to buy, sell, keep, and maintain slaves. Does that make any sense to you? Now, don't get me wrong. There are people who held that position, just like Rudolph Giuliani is able to hold his position. But how one does it without lapsing into mental conflict is beyond me. Substitute something other than slavery, if that's too hot button an issue for you. Murder, which is probably a better analogy to abortion, if there ever was one. I find murder to be repugnant. I think the murder rate is too high. I think there's always alternatives to murder. I'd like to see no one committing murder, but I support the murderer's right to choose to kill his neighbor. Just sounds like nonsense, doesn't it? I think it was what George Orwell used to call doublespeak. What about the issue of embryonic stem cell research? That came up near the end of the debate.
Mrs. Reagan wants to expand federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Will that progress under your administration, Governor?
Certainly will. Altered nuclear transfer, I think, is perhaps the
embryonic.
Best choice.
Embryonic.
Altered nuclear transfer creates embryo-like cells that could be used for stem cell research. In my view, that's the most promising source. I have a deep concern about curing disease. I have a wife that has a serious disease that could be affected by stem cell research and others, but I will not create new embryos through cloning or through embryo farming, because that will be creating life for the purpose of destroying it.
And you won't take any from these fertility clinics to use either?
I'm happy to allow that to be, or I shouldn't say happy. It's fine for that to be allowed to be legal. I won't use our government funds for that. Instead, I want our government funds to be used on Dr. Hurlbut's method, which is altered nuclear transfer.
The same question, embryonic stem cell research with federal funds, sir.
It will not, with all due respect to Mrs. Reagan and her desires here. I've studied this matter a great deal. We are curing and healing people with adult stem cells.
Okay.
It is not necessary to kill a human life for us to heal people, and we're doing it with adult stem cell work, and it's getting done.
Okay. I'm going to have to go yes or no. Governor Gilmore, for embryonic stem cell federal funding or not?
We can't create people in order to experiment with people.
Governor Huckabee.
I would concur. I don't think it's right to create a life, to end a life. That's not a good health decision.
No, I'd like to show Mrs. Reagan the alternatives, which are adult stem cells.
Governor Thompson.
There's so much research going on, Chris. You cannot answer that question yes or no. There's research currently going on right now at the Weissman Center in Madison, Wisconsin, that's going to allow for adult stem cells to become pluripotent, which will have the same characteristics of embryonic stem cells, so you do not have to kill an embryo.
Senator, embryonic stem cell federal funding.
I want to thank Mrs. Reagan for the many kindnesses extended to me, many and my fellow prisoners of war many years ago when we came home to this wonderful state. I believe that we need to fund this. This is a tough issue for those of us in the pro-life community. I would remind you that these stem cells are either going to be discarded or perpetually frozen. We need to do what we can to relieve human suffering. It's a tough issue. I support federal funding.
That's a yes. Dr. Paul, yes or no on federal funding?
Programs like this are not authorized under the Constitution. The trouble with this, issues like this, is in Washington we either prohibit it or subsidize it.
Right.
And the market should deal with it and the states should deal with it.
Okay, that's a no.
As long as we're not creating life in order to destroy it, as long as we're not having human cloning and we limit it to that, and there's plenty of opportunity to then use federal funds in those situations where you have limitations. So I would support it with those limitations, like Senator Coleman's bill in Congress.
Mr. Trank,
there are billions of dollars going into this research right now. It does not require me taking money from taxpayers in the United States to fund it.
Thank you, John.
Because it is morally, I think, reprehensible in certain ways.
Okay, so we have Mitt Romney saying no federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. He didn't have a problem with using in vitro fertilization embryos, but he doesn't want to pay for it. He didn't have a problem with using those embryos. He said, got no problem with that, but he doesn't want to pay federal funds for it. John McCain said, fund it. Fund embryonic stem cell research. Ron Paul said, it's not authorized by the Constitution. So we have no business paying for it. But he didn't make any moral argument against embryonic stem cell research. And Rudolph Giuliani, in his what's becoming kind of his typical fashion, said, well, as long as we're not creating life to destroy life and not cloning anyone. But see, the biggest method that's being proposed for embryonic stem cell research creates life to destroy life. So he's in favor of funding it as long as it isn't what it is. Oh, my goodness. So are you satisfied with what these GOP hopefuls had to say about embryonic stem cell research and federal funding of it? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. That in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. The majority of the men assembled there were not in favor of embryonic stem cell research being funded by federal taxpayer dollars. But the big names, again, Romney, McCain, Giuliani, those three big ones who are most likely, no one's a prophet, but most likely to emerge from all of this debate and pre-primary conversation as the more likely candidates, just given the fact that they can raise more money. All of them have what Chris Matthews might call a nuanced position on embryonic stem cell research. But give Matthews the credit that is due here. He used the word embryonic. Unlike the vast majority of reporting on stem cell research, he was either smart enough or honest enough to use that word embryonic and not just to ask the question, well, are you in favor of federal funding stem cell research? Which would have required, of course, that the candidates be able to explain the difference between embryonic and adult stem cells and why one is ethically repugnant, the other one is ethically A-OK. At least Matthews cut to the chase and got to the real ethical question. No one is against stem cell research. The one and only question is, where are you going to get those stem cells? And does your source of stem cells require the destruction of human embryos? This is where Mitt Romney kind of confused me, to be honest. Because he has no problem with federally funding in vitro fertilization, harvesting stem cells from embryos from in vitro fertilization, where a life is still taken to harvest those stem cells. He has no problem with that. He don't want to pay for it, but he still has no problem with it. I'm a little more confused. Well, we'll keep an eye on what the candidates are saying and their various positions on these all-important issues. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM850 KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.